Let's open our Bibles tonight, going back into the 9th chapter of John. And I thank the Lord that we were so sweetly again in John, but last week it just, sweeter as the days go by, huh? Praise his name. But we talked about that wonderful blind man and how Jesus touched him and how, praise the Lord, we saw that Jesus took up that dirt and spit into it, made that clay, and stuck it in that man's eyes. And so many types come out of that, but so magnificent is to accentuate, to magnify the blindness of man. How blind we are, and the need for a Savior. And praise be to God, this man was tender, received the fact that he was blind and needed to see. Now, that was in the natural, but this is all to tell us in the spiritual. And praise God, we always need to see our need in Christ. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, that by the grace of God, he must increase and you must decrease. It never changes. The same need for salvation, the need of the grace of God, is the same need that we have until we see Christ. Oh, it just gives me chills to think, thank you, Lord, that you didn't change the game on us. You never changed it up. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we rejoiced in song and prayer, he's done it all. He has not withheld a thing. He has freely given himself. The Father freely gave us everything in his Son. Praise God, little lords of all. Let's grow up in the privilege of the sons of God and the love of Jesus. Amen. Praise his name. But we left off there in the 11th verse. After this man had went down to the pool of Siloam, and he went to the place that the Lord sent him, and he washed. And once he washed his eyes, praise God, he came seeing. And they knew that this man, something had changed. They knew that this man, praise God, was, in a sense, what this was typing, a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. And I thank God that that precious assurance in 2 Corinthians 5 assures us of this. And immediately, the Lord was going to allow him to be challenged. Think of your own lives, those that have accepted Christ maybe in their later years, but all of us, in a sense, as we grow in the Lord, as the Lord has increased faith in us, he's going to have that faith tried immediately, isn't he? As we accept Christ Jesus, and I've told many of folk that the Lord has privileged me to pray for to receive Christ, you're going to be challenged. Challenged by others, even challenged in your own mind. Was it real? Did I feel something? Whatever it may be. You were saved one way, and that was by grace through faith. And praise God, it is the gift of God, isn't it? And we're so thankful to the Lord that we know that his word is true. So in the 10th verse, as those Pharisees came to him, those legalists, they saw that he could see. In John 9, verse 10, they said, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And we noticed that it wasn't who, it was how. They wanted to know, in a sense, the trick or the operation. They were not looking for the one, the I am, who did it. Who had been testifying and witnessing to all of these blind ones that would not hear for how many chapters now? Amen. And they're still just blind to it because they refuse. They are set to be determined not to believe God. As the word tells us, they have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. So he answered and said in verse 11, this blind man, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed. And I received sight. And isn't that the way the Word of God is always with us? As we take the Word of God and allow by His Spirit to allow it to live in our lives, to guide our lives, to take those steps of faith. Praise God. Isn't that amazing what we begin to see? As we walk with the Lord, and as, again, we go on, and as in John, see, John is the testimony of the full overcomer in Christ. This is the eagle. You think about the eagle, the vision that the eagle has. You think about, again, the sight that the eagle has, as it can soar above everything, but yet it sees. And what are we going to be introduced here in John, which will be so magnificent, is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And praise God, the reason for the Spirit of truth that is sent. And what does that wonderful Spirit of truth do? He enlightens the eyes of our understanding. We begin to see, praise God, in such great dimension. Matter of fact, all of the dimensions of the love of God. We begin to understand that and know that and receive that into our lives. But he said a man named Jesus did it. Isn't that wonderful? The name of Jesus. He calls him Jesus. He's calling upon the name Jesus. There's lots of things said. Matter of fact, everything is said in the name Jesus. And I thank God. See, he's confessing in that name. And yet at this point, he still doesn't necessarily even have knowledge of what he's doing and being encouraged of the Spirit to believe. And this is what's so exciting about this passage, is how the Word of God is witnessed into our lives all the way along. It's by His Spirit. He introduces things through His Word into our life all the time. Sometimes, and many times, unwittingly, we don't really understand that. But then, bam, our eyes of understanding are enlightened. And those things He brings to our remembrance that, as I've even teased about sometimes, where I was laying asleep on a pew or I wasn't listening very well or something of that. But God in His faithfulness, not allowing His Word to return void unto Him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it magnificent? In all of that, He is faithful and true. Verse 12, then they said unto Him, where is He? They wanted to know where this guy was. He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I'll tell you, Jesus is really getting a pattern here, isn't he? He's doing lots of stuff on the Sabbath, and it's making every legalist mad. What he's magnifying here is the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so thankful for the Lord. He's just, again, over and over, honey, it's not about all of these rules that were laid out or anything of that nature. I had to fulfill them all. We're going to read about the door that he came through and the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and how he fulfilled all of that for us. He became and lived all of those things. And I thank God again that he finished it all for us. And this is what is so beautiful. But they just don't want to receive this. So again, they brought in the 13th verse, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. And again, all throughout the Word of God, and especially through this passage, it's emphasizing grace. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Now see, brothers and sisters, we can continue to tell people about the Word of God. You can continue to tell them and witness to them of the Scriptures of the Word of God. But until they hear the Word of God and believe, they'll never understand it. They will never receive it. It's like they never, ever heard it. Because they're unbelieving. They have no hearing. Even though they have an ear, they do not hear. So, he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Again, emphasizing his blindness. He's emphasizing his need. Isn't that wonderful? And I thank God for that sweet testimony. You think, as much as we always want to see people go on with the Lord, isn't it wonderful when some of these, well, when anybody gets saved, but especially ones that have a similar testimony in a way of Saul of Tarsus, the one that was the chief of sinners, these ones that were these horrible criminals and all of these different things, but yet they talk about the grace of God, how rotten and how awful and the things that they did, but the grace of God. Amen? And this is what is so being magnified again. It's because I was blind. He put clay into my eyes. He magnified how much my eyes were blind. And this is what he did. And now I see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. And why? Because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Again, you're going to know right away when somebody's just going to be legal, when they're not going to see the grace of God. All they're going to do is point to some type of a work that they can magnify in their own lives. They're always going to point to the law as opposed to pointing to the cross. That's the difference. It's always going to be the difference. It's pointing to you as opposed to pointing to Christ, the grace of God that is with me. And what do we want to magnify? And we will be challenged as we do take the grace of God and grow in the grace of God. By the grace of God, not to be puffed up. By the grace of God, as the anointing comes upon our lives, and we know that the power of his might is so real and coursing, praise God, because of his grace, we're still going to be allowed to be tried in that. And we need to always be on our knees and understanding again, but for God, but for the grace of God, I would not be here. But for the grace of God, I would not see this. But for the grace of God, I would not have this encouragement. But for the grace of God, I would not have this ability. But for the grace of God, I would not have this testimony. Amen? Amen. But for the grace of God. So, others said, after they said, well, this man's not a God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. See, we know. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Think about how we've been reading about the division. And again, as Christ said, he said, I came to divide. That's so wonderful. He did. He came to show that it was going to be divided. He turned the world upside down. They in verse 7, they say unto the blind men again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, the blind man says, he is a prophet. Now, in this case, go back, if you can remember, about the woman at the well. She said the same thing. He is a prophet. At first, until they were revealed by Christ that he is Jesus, the Christ. But this is what they know. They were looking in this word prophet. What it's emphasizing here is the word of God. That's what's so beautiful. The prophet represented the word of God. And this is what these Israelis, in a sense, because these were Israelites, that they knew, praise God, that they were looking to the word of God. And this is very important because these will be the sheep that hear his voice. These will be those ones that will come after him and know his voice that we will read about, God willing, here in just a minute. But this is what is so precious, is that there is the realization that this one is speaking truth. Amen. And that is, again, the grace of God. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. See, the world does not believe. And when there's no believing, there's no understanding. They cannot grasp the concept of how were you healed. Anybody ever had a great healing in their body that had been seeing the doctor? And the doctor just sits there and says, I don't understand this. I don't get this. I don't see how that happened. I remember when God touched me with that amazing infection that I had in my leg. And I decided to listen to the Lord, and I stayed at home, and that infection grew, and there were a lot of different things. And my leg, my whole thigh from my knee all the way up to my groin was as big as a football and red, bright, the brightest red you could ever imagine, and a big boil on top of it. It was awful looking. Finally was encouraged of the Lord, I'm going to go see a doctor. So I went in to see that doctor, and he saw my leg, and he was just dumbfounded. He almost was speechless. He said, I cannot believe how that infection has stopped. He saw this bright red line that I know that God had drawn on my leg and said, infection, that is, you're not going any further. And that was the truth. And it was as horrible as the infections can be, the kind that kill you. And I'm not exaggerating, it's just what it is. But what is that to God? Is anything hard for our God? No, he's not. I thank the Lord for that opportunity of faith to trust him. But again, not understanding how that could be. How can that be? Well, the answer is simple to me. I believe the answer is simple to you. Jesus. He is the great physician. And I thank God that, again, this is what, this is so simple here that he told me to do that. And I did. The word says it, and it is so. Just like the testimony of our sweet brother Herbie back there in Missouri. All along the way, that sweet testimony. Well, you mean I need a Savior to be saved? Well, sure. Well, then I'm going to believe in Jesus, and I'm saved. Well, you mean there's more? Well, sure. You know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, you just seek him and trust him. Well, I need the Holy Ghost, and I'll see those things. Well, I need the Holy Ghost, and he received the Holy Ghost. And then he said, you mean now I can really understand bridal truth, and I can hear these deep things of God, and I can be again ruling and reigning, glorified together with him, but I'm going to suffer together with him for all of this? But those sufferings aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me? Well, I believe that too, and I need that. And I will tell you something. There is no one that I've ever met, and I mean that very sincerely, that has suffered more than that sweet brother. But he's happy in Jesus, just abiding till he come. So, in that, again, do we just believe him? But the world does not believe him, and that is why the world does not understand you. And that's the truth, isn't it? Ever get frustrated why sometimes you think your close friends or different ones, you try to tell them about the Lord and they're just not there? What does life have with death? It can't understand. And that's where you are until you receive Christ. Verse 19. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. But that really wasn't the truth. The sad thing is they knew. And why do we know that they knew? Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. But isn't it interesting that they're not referred to as, in a sense, the Jews? The Jews in this passage here are referred to as the unbelieving ones. But these are Israeli people. But the Jew, again, is speaking of the religion, or, in a sense, that unbelieving heart at this time. And the parents, the word spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. God help us to never fear. God help us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. These Jews were determined not to believe. That testimony came all the way through. Because when Christ rose from the tomb, what was the first thing that they did? They paid the Roman soldiers to say that the disciples had come and stole and carried his body away. They were determined. As the word of God says, though one rise from the dead, which he did, they will not believe, which they did. And why did all of that they did? Because it's the word of God and it's true. And the word of God is always going to be true, so that's always going to be done. And it's very sad, but without faith, you're never going to believe, and faith in Christ, you'll never believe. This is interesting in verse 23. Again, therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. I love that because they're emphasizing his age, that he is mature, that he can answer for himself. And isn't it wonderful that mature ones in Christ are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Even though they were his parents, it doesn't refer to them as mature ones. They're called parents, but this one is of age. He can testify for himself. I want to be able to testify for myself. I want to have that testimony that, praise be to God, I can give account of what the Lord has done in my life. Verse 24, then again called the man that was blind. They called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So see, they're referring again to Jesus, and they're pressuring this guy, and they're saying, hey, look, you give God the praise, and you just say that this man is a sinner. Turn on over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 7 here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now you see what these ones were saying? You praise God. I'll give you a form. You praise God, and then you call the true God a sinner. Huh? That's exactly what they're doing. Because they're lovers of their own selves. They're boasters. They're covetous. They're proud. And they blaspheme. And this is exactly what they do. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that exactly who these people were? These were the most studied ones, in a sense, of the Old Testament. Ever learning, but they never came to a knowledge of the truth, which was standing right before them. If this isn't such witness of this, brothers and sisters, the truth of it all, that God in the flesh standing before them, and yet they still do not believe. So, again, we know the word is true. Going back to verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, the blind man said, whereas I was blind, now I see. See, they tried to confuse this fella. They tried to just kind of cast him off, but I'll tell you what, he was getting a backbone here. He was getting encouragement. He put them right back on track. I see. You don't see. You may think you see, but I see. And I see him. Amen. Because why? Because I knew I was blind. You want to see something in the Word of God? You want to grow in the things of God, realize that he has to show it to you. Realize that it's got to be by his Spirit. Understand, again, it's all by the grace of God. This is so beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful. There just isn't. You talk about beyond poetry. The Word of God. Then they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Oh, they're getting frustrated, aren't they? They're all about how. They're not about the I am. Turn on over to Hebrews 11. Now, I'm grateful to God in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that we rejoice. This is one of the greatest rejoicings of all of the word. Praise God to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, we know that, isn't it? See, the only way we know that we please God is by believing the word of God. Amen? For he that comes to God, that's you, me, must believe that he is. And we believe that he is. See, these fellas, these Jews, they did not believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that simple? He's just going to reward, not for my doing, but just that I seek him. Praise God. And just, I want to know more about Jesus. And boy, will he reward me, because you know what? He that wills to know will know of the gospel. Know the will of God. Hallelujah. Going on back. Verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already. He gets it, and ye did not hear. They have no hearing. Wherefore would ye hear it again? He's getting real sharp, isn't he? He said, what? I've already told you so many times, I'm tired of telling you. I'm passing by this city. Amen? This is a quick learner. This precious brother wasn't messing around. He got it. Thank the Lord. How wise God made him so fast. Why would you, what am I going to do? Why would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Oh, he's really going after him now. He's got the Spirit of God in him. He's got that unction of that encouragement. Praise God. So he's telling, you know, without hearing, you're just lost. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. They thought they were insulting him. They were actually complimenting. It was the greatest compliment that they could ever give. Praise God. You're his disciple. Amen. Amen. And go on with it. I told you one time there was a sweet pastor. I love him. And I was encouraged and asked to speak out in Kansas City many years back. And just a young kid. But I'll tell you what. God gave me an unction to love Paul's gospel. And I thank the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I preached a message on Paul's gospel. And I tell you, I think you know, by the grace of God, I'm intense with this stuff. Well, it's been happening over the years. And I gave that message, and I believe by the grace of God in the love of God. That fella came up to me afterwards, and he said, you're just too adamant and too intense about Paul's gospel. I threw my arms around him. I said, oh, thank you, brother. That's the truth. And he was shocked, and I wasn't mocking him. I know what he meant, but he knew what I meant. And there was nothing else to be said. Nothing. By the grace of God, I won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I want, by his grace, salvation with eternal glory. How about you? Amen? We're after it because, hallelujah, we know we've been apprehended of him. So, they said to him, verse 28, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Well, if you go back, and I just think this is so beautiful about, well, if you're Moses' disciples, going back to John 5, 46 and 47, it says there, and Jesus was telling those Jews again back there, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Yes, he did. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Because he wrote of God. Jesus is speaking of God. Matter of fact, I am. So you don't get it. You're not going to get it. And that's it. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Isn't that something? See, again, he's giving it back to him. He said, you know, this marvelous thing's happened, and here I am just a blind beggar, and you don't know, and you can't see. And what does he say? And yet he's opened mine eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Treasure what you've got. Oh, hallelujah. This man, he just received salvation, And just for a moment, but what a treasure, what an honor, what a glory. Oh, and he's thankful. Now we know, he goes on, that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Again, marvel in the wisdom and the power that this man was given so soon. And you have, praise the Lord, a better thing than what was given at this moment. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Ask. He gives liberally. He braideth. He doesn't hold it back. He'll give it to you. Amen? And this is that power that he gives. And I'm learning by the grace of God just a little more all the time to be confident in him. Yes, that he does it all, that he performs it all. That, honey, the anointing in my name has already been given. You just trust me. And how marvelous and wonderful he is. So, verse 34, they answered and said unto him, because they have no other way to go now because they're done, we're going to go right back to insults. Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Couldn't put up with truth anymore. We're going to cast it out. And you don't realize what was so beautiful about that. That was just the Lord drawing him out. They can't do a thing. God was drawing him out, isn't it? It is. It's just, it's so wonderful. You think you've been thrown out before and cast out of things? No, it's because the Lord drew you out. Oh, every hair on my body standing up. I don't know about yours, but I'm just thinking about over and over in my life, the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And how awesome and wonderful our Lord is. This man so undeserving, but God in his grace, and how wonderful. But see, these are proud and vile ones, and proud and vile. When you finally give them the word of God, what they do is they become cruel. They become cruel. And unfortunately, even the people of God, when they don't want to receive the word of God, and they do not want to receive the grace of God, and they're challenged with grace, they'll become cruel. Yep. It's going to be one way or the other. It's either going to be spirit or flesh. It's either going to be grace or it's going to be works. And of this flesh, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing good. It's always, it's always going to end up bad. Thank God. So, Jesus heard, can you imagine, that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, isn't that wonderful? When he was cast out, Jesus went to look for him. Matter of fact, he knew exactly where he was because he was the one that drew him out. Another wonderful, beautiful thing. You think you've been cast out before? Oh, no. You were drawn to him. He just wanted you closer. We go unto him, what? Out from among the camp. Praise God. And this is what that is. So may this shed some light upon some times in your life where you thought that you failed or they were mean or this type of thing. And you just realize, oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. And just to trust him. Praise God. And it says, and he found him and he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So, boy, he honors this beggar, doesn't he? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Isn't this amazing? Prophet, Lord, listen to the words coming out of this guy's mouth. He doesn't even know. But yet he does know because the Spirit's so faithful. Have you ever known that in your life? Yes, you have. Have you ever been aware of how God just takes over? He gives you that wisdom. Amen? Yes. That's how the Lord does it. The Spirit of truth. This is, praise God, what we have in that encouragement to be led into all truth even. But this is what is so wonderful. He answered and said, who is he, Lord? He's even calling him that and he doesn't even know yet. But he knows. It's beyond beautiful. It is the grace of God. that I, what? Might believe on him. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read verse 3. And here it is. Wherefore I give you to understand. See? I give that to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. See, they said, what did they say? Praise God and call Jesus a sinner. That's exactly what they were saying. But see, it says right there that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Huh? Gonna change your mind going to the All Faith Breakfast? Huh? Some sad brothers and sisters that get caught up into this. I'm not kidding you. Why would I want to be with people that want to do that? And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So who was dealing with this fella was none other but the Holy Ghost. Dealing and dealing and dealing and dealing. Then going back to our text. Verse 37, here's as good as it gets. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. See, he didn't have to tell him twice. He didn't have to explain it to this guy at all. Why? Because he saw. Because he was blind, and now I see. Amen. You talk about that enlightened eyes. And what did he do after he believed? He worshipped. There starts the drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. Good stuff, brothers and sisters. Wonderful time. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. So see, that's who Christ is seeking. The ones that know they're blind, that have a need. I came to save the lost. That's why the Word of God says, not many mighty, not many wise. Why? I could mention a lot of names. I've seen them on TV lately. Poor fellas that are so proud. Oh, I've done this and I do that. And on and on. In every party. Amen. Know it. So pride is not a respecter of person or party. And it's just awful. So Jesus said, for judgment I'm coming to this world that they which see not might see. And they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? See, brothers and sisters, you must know that you are blind. You must know that you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Oh, yes, we must know. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Praise God. As the blind man says, I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. Now, let's get on into verse 10, and we'll just touch on this a little bit tonight. But I thank the Lord, again, how he directs, because this is very important, because this is a parable that continues on right with the text we were in. And I'd like to just read verse 6 first, and this will kind of bring it all together with what I just said. This parable spake Jesus. So the first five verses of the 10th chapter, after all of those things are said by Christ, he says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So it's these same unbelieving ones that he is speaking this to. Right from the story of this blind man, right at this time, he continues on to speak again, now this parable that we're going to read from verse 1. So let's go back and read chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So going back now into that first verse, he that entereth not by the door. In this passage, we're going to have different doors here, and this is the first door that we come to. This door into the sheepfold. So this is speaking about how Jesus came into the sheepfold. Jesus came into the sheepfold. Now the sheepfold, brothers and sisters, were the Israel fold, the flock of Jehovah. Through Ezekiel, Psalm, and all of that, Israel was spoken of as the flock of Jehovah. So Christ is coming. Remember, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He comes to the Jew first, and then he turns to the Gentile. So he's come to the Jew here, and this is what this is speaking of. But he entered by the door that needed to be entered in to this sheepfold. Jesus did not enter in another way. That is, again, the same way a thief would enter in or a robber. What this is speaking of is that Jesus fulfilled the word of God completely. He fulfilled everything of the law. He fulfilled everything of the Old Testament prophecy. He came perfectly because he is from above, because he is God the Son. And that is how we know is that he came, he entered by the door that was given into the sheepfold. And that is so beautiful to know. That's why he was born lower than the angels. He was born that baby in a manger. He had nowhere to lay his head. He was rejected. He was despised. They were not looking for him. They would seek to kill him. All of those things that were prophesied. And then going on to where, again, he would be hung upon and nailed to that cross. And that he would become sin for us who knew no sin. For the vinegar, all of those different things, his pierced side, all of that to the T, the cast lots for his garments, everything was fulfilled. He is the good shepherd. Amen. And this is what this is speaking of. He entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Go on over to Matthew 15:24. This will even shed a little bit more light upon this. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How sweet. Again, this sweet blind beggar representing, in a sense, the one that knew he was blind of Israel. This is the one, these are the ones that Christ was sent to save the who? The lost. And this is what is so beautiful in this sweet passage. Verse 2, it says, but he entered in by the door. In by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So that's the door that our Christ, our Lord and Savior came through, was that door of the perfect will of God. He fulfilled it all. Goes on in verse 3 to say, to him the porter opened. Now, who is the porter? Who is the one that really presented Christ? Who is the one that said, behold the Lamb of God? None other than John the Baptist. And how sweet. He was the porter, the one that introduced him. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, we just came out of the 9th chapter of John. We just came from the story of the blind man. This is so beautiful because this is taking that story and putting it into this parable. That blind man was of the flock, wasn't he? He was of that flock of Israel. That blind man, praise God, was one, though, that refused to listen to the thief and to the robbers, didn't he? He wasn't going to listen to them, the Pharisee, as it was said there, the Jew. He knew the voice of the shepherd. He called him the prophet. He called him the Lord. He listened to him. He went down to that wonderful pool of Siloam, and he washed. Praise be to God. And in that, he believed. He believed. So this is beautiful to kind of put in to the same study. Again, that wasn't planned. This is just God. I trust him to bring this, but to really understand that this goes together. The word of God always goes together, but this is so sweet in how this parable, again, is so fulfilled in what we just read in the blind man. So there's three distinctions of the good shepherd here, brothers and sisters. First of all, the good shepherd or the true shepherd entered by the door, entered by the word of God. Matter of fact, is the word of God. But everything was fulfilled in the good shepherd. We understand there's many antichrists out there and things of that nature, and they're just growing and growing. But the true shepherd enters by the door, by the word of God. The true shepherd, number two, entered by the porter opening it up to him. He was introduced by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. And number three is the sheep know his voice. That is so beautiful. And they follow him. They don't just hear, but they'll follow him. So think about this as we close tonight, about how the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth them by name. You think about how he called Matthew. Think about how he called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you come down. He called him by name. Think about how he called Mary at the tomb. Wasn't that so beautiful? She didn't know who that was or thought, you know, who she was talking to or anything. And then he said, Mary. And what did she say? Rabboni. It was just beautiful, wasn't it? Amen. But see, his sheep know his voice, and he calls you by name.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Hagen, Walter, Jesse, he calls me by name. He knows you, hallelujah, and you hear him, you know his voice, and by the grace of God, you follow him. Oh, I think about that. I thought about, as I was reading this, think about little Samuel. There he was on that bed. Samuel, what he said, here am I. He went in there to get Eli, didn't he? And nope, wasn't me. You go back to bed. After that third time, hey, buddy, God's calling you, and he's calling you by name. Huh? Isn't that sweet? Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful. So they followed. Verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Oh, yes, you do. Where is his voice, and what is his voice? It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. Amen? See, these people that'll tell you, and they get so... And let me tell you something. You go there, but for the grace of God, you get kooky too. Oh, God told me. Oh, sure. Where did God tell you? Where did it say in his Word he told you that? Huh? It's here. This is how God speaks to man. Speaks in the Word of God. And just to know that and to rest in it and to understand that. But see, it's not by sight. For they know his voice. They follow him not because they see him. They follow him by faith because they hear him. You hear the word of God. A stranger will they not follow. And wasn't that so sweet? That was that blind man. He wouldn't follow them. He wasn't going to have anything to do with them. Matter of fact, he stood up and he told them exactly who they were. If I tell you again, will you be his disciple now? He was actually mocking their unbelief. It was beautiful. And just appreciate that, brother. Someday we'll meet him. Be good stuff. Thank the Lord for the grace of God that's with him. And so, it says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. See, they have an ear to hear the word. They have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This goes right back. Brothers and sisters, there's an infinite, innumerable number of counterfeits. You don't need to study the counterfeit. You just hear the word of God. You'll hear the stranger's voice, and it'll be strange immediately because it won't be his voice. And by the grace of God, you won't follow it. I don't need to be confused. I hear his voice. I hear this word. And when I hear anything else, I know that ain't Jesus. I know that's not him. And I just pass right on by. Praise God. Don't need to argue with it, do we? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And we'll stop there. But this is the second door. He came through the door, in a sense, that word, hallelujah, fulfilled it all. And now, I'm showing you too, I am the door. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yes, he openeth, he closes. Amen? Because he's the door. Praise God. We're having a good time in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank the Lord for his word.